the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
I'm really enjoying a new novel by Jamel White, his debut novel set in West Dublin in gangland, All Them Dogs. Jamel, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Now, I don't want to give away too much of the story involved in this, but tell us about your protagonist, Tony Ward, and the story that you've set up around him.
So Tony Ward is a young man who's returned to Dublin after a few years away in the UK after committing a violent crime. And he's come back to his hometown in West Dublin to reinstate himself in the gangland now that he thinks the coast is cleared. And so he gets involved with the enforcer of a notorious crime lord. And what develops there between him and that enforcer is a romance, which is something that he now has to navigate against the backdrop of this violent and hyper-masculine and dangerous world that he inhabits. And he has to try find his place amongst all of that.
And in addition to that, he doesn't have the best of relationships, does he, with his brother and mother?
Tenuous, to say the least, yeah. Yeah. So he's returned home and unexpectedly he's found that his brother, his older brother, his older half-brother, who has lived a very different life to him and has not maybe the highest opinion of him, has also returned. And so he enters into conflict within the gangland world, but also within the home and also within himself.
So lots of complications going on.
A few complications, yes.
And the crime is sort of in the background, isn't it, to the characters?
Absolutely, yeah. It's the backdrop. It's the vehicle in which they move through their lives. But very much the story is about the relationships between these characters and their, particularly Tony's, kind of internal struggles.
How did all this come about, this story for you?
Yeah, so I followed a very kind of, you kind of follow an impulse with these things. I was doing my undergrad in creative writing a few years ago and I wrote a short story called Blue Opal, which was about Tony returning to Dublin. It was the same kind of setup. And in order to kind of find some safety in the world, he had to get in with this gang. And it was kind of set mostly in the car with him and this other man. And it was a situation whereby he could only find a kind of sense of security and safety while he was in the car with this other man, and that's how the romance element kind of started to blossom. But you know, for me, it was just when I discovered Tony and I discovered his voice, I kind of knew I had something that I could run with. I think the way he speaks and the way he thinks and the way he makes decisions, I found were very mobilizing in terms of kind of pushing a story out.
Tell us a little bit about your development as a writer, because it's been many years since Roddy Doyle was in here telling us about Fighting Words, and Sean Love as well.
Yeah.
And the work that you're one of the graduates of Fighting Words, aren't you?
You could put it that way, yeah. So I volunteered, or I was on a work placement with Fighting Words soon after I left school. So I left school early when I was 17. I dropped out just about 6 months before my leaving cert and went into an early school leavers course for a couple of years that kind of brought me up to speed skills-wise and kind of prepared me for maybe going on to a PLC or just joining the workforce. And towards the end of that, there was the opportunity to do some linked work placements. And I spent about 6 to 8 months in Fighting Words, facilitating workshops, working with young people and working with the team there. And it was a real kind of, it was my kind of introduction into adult life. It really kind of gave me a sense of belonging. And a sense of, you know, being appreciated for what I have to bring to the role and stuff. And yeah, I really kind of came out of my shell in that space. And of course, it was a creative space with an emphasis on writing. But me personally, I had wanted to write my whole life. That was something I was always interested in doing. So, I mean, the fact that a space existed that allowed me at 17, 18 years old to enter and give, you know, create some structure in my life around this thing that I loved. I think it was really important to me.
Why did you drop out of school before leaving cert?
I was struggling as a teenager, I think, from kind of early. There was some kind of disconnect in the home that made me feel, you know, to keep it nice and short, kind of made me feel like a bit of an outsider in the home. And I think I internalized that and brought it into school with me. And like I was growing up in a small town in Cavan, so I was there wasn't a lot of I didn't find a kind of sense of community there in the way a lot of kids probably do. And I'm sure there's many young people that can relate to that. And so, you know, eventually school started falling by the wayside. And then we moved back down to Dublin when I was 17. I'd already fallen pretty behind in school as it was. And then coming into this new school where the teachers don't know me, don't have a sense of me, I kind of came in as a problem, you know, and met some resistance and gave plenty of resistance back. And, you know, by the end of it, I couldn't be there anymore. I didn't want to be there anymore. And it was only because that we were given enough information about potential support and alternative pathways and stuff that I was able to come to the decision to leave with, you know, a good bit of support from home.
But you had something else to go to.
I did. And that was the early school.
Because it's really interesting, I suppose. We don't think about it, but there must be quite a lot of teenagers who are bright, have plenty of ability. There's lots of things that they can do, but don't finish out Leaving Cert and then perhaps feel that there's blockages because of not doing their Leaving Cert to doing what they want to do.
Definitely. I mean, I definitely felt like that at the time. It was kind of like, you know, stepping into a void and watching, you know, other friends and peers kind of progress to kind of more standard route. And I didn't really know how it was going to go, but there was a lot of faith in me from home, from my mother in particular. She knew that if this path existed and it was slower and I could mature along that path and I was happy doing it, then, you know, the results would be better off. But I mean, these places in these early school leaving courses, they're few and far between, and I was incredibly lucky to get in as quickly as I did. But there are, you know, there are young people with a whole host of issues, both mental health, both from like struggles with addiction or stability in the home, that really need the intervention and they need it fast. And the places just aren't there. And the visibility of the courses and all of that is one thing, but also just the size and the capacity to take on. Like you said, there are a lot of people that I think could benefit from this, but a lot of people aren't benefiting from it. It's the unfortunate thing.
I mean, you had to develop confidence as well, didn't you, in yourself to actually go and write?
That was a big thing, yeah. I mean, I like the manager at Fighting Words is a woman called Sarah Bennett, and recently she's kind of told me this story of, or she's told other people this story of when she first met me, and, you know, I was this young boy with like no confidence, and she slowly saw that develop over the time that I was there. And, you know, that's a really touching story for me to hear because I wasn't maybe as aware of it at the time. But yeah, I think, you know, those couple of years that I spent in between school and eventually university, I think they were they equipped me with a kind of sense of self and a drive and, you know, enough achievement, enough feeling of achievement to know that I was capable of doing something that I wanted to set out and do. And alongside that, I had a lot of people in my corner kind of cheering me on. So yeah, I think you're dead right.
Well, then you had the stepping stone as well. You were able to find the stepping stone to go without a Leaving Cert to go to university.
I was, yeah.
And that's rare enough, I'd imagine, isn't it?
I think it is, yeah. And like I said, it's not the conventional way.
Was the university experience good for you?
It was, yeah. I mean, I was a little bit older by the time I got in, and I think that definitely helped.
That helps.
Yeah, and I was doing what I loved. And by then I had, you know, I had enough kind of experience writing under my belt and being around writers, and I was confident sharing my work, which is kind of, that's what you do in a creative writing course, is you have to share your work and you have to learn to have it fed back on. And so I was, you know, I had an advantage in that sense. Which kind of allowed me to, you know, get a foothold there and kind of carve out a place where I could make sure my work gets the attention I think it needed to get.
Growing up, how much time did you spend in Cavan and how much time in West Dublin? Because you don't have much of a Cavan accent.
I don't have much of a Dublin accent either, I don't think. So funnily enough, I'm living in the house, the first house I ever lived in, I'm still living in now. It's my grandparents' house. We moved up to Cavan when I was, I think, 5 or 6. For reference, I'm 28 now. So I was in Cavan for about 10 or 12 years, moved back when I was 16, 17, kind of one of the two of them. It was that year anyway.
Because the book is very much written in the vernacular of Dublin.
Yeah, well, my family are all Dubs. you know, yeah. we just moved up there for a while and then came back. But yeah, it's the accent that's surrounded me my whole life. It's just not one I picked up myself.
I suspect there are some people outside of Ireland will probably need some sort of glossary of words because it's very Dublin at times, isn't it?
Sure. I mean, there's been mentions of that, but I think, I mean, the goal was when I was working with my American editor, was that there should be enough context in the novel for people to be able to figure out if it's not immediately apparent.
Absolutely.
It should become apparent through repetition or through what's immediately being referenced.
And it's been optioned, I believe, has it, for TV or movie?
For TV, yeah. So that's all very exciting.
Will you be working on that? I mean, would you get the opportunity to develop out the story, or is that something you've had to hand on to somebody else?
No, that's something that gets handed on. Now, there will be a stage of meaningful consultation, and from what I gather, I believe they're going to be very generous with that. But ultimately, yeah, I'm passing the baton on to another group of creators, which I'm really excited about, actually, because it's... I can sit back and just watch what somebody else does with it.
I presume that given that All Them Dogs is published now, that you're already well underway on a follow-up, are you?
Well underway.
Or a second novel or a sequel to this?
A second novel, which will have its links, I think. All going well, will have its links. But a new story with new characters and maybe some old faces will return, but I won't mention anything about that now.
How productive are you?
Sometimes I'm very productive, other times recently not so much because I've been very distracted with everything that's been going on. But I mean, when I was writing All Them Dogs, it was 1,000 words a day every day, and it was first thing in the morning, and I found that if I got those 1,000 words out before I left the bed, then I wasn't polluted by any inputs from any other kind of sources. I wasn't distracted by anything. I could just wake up and focus on the book, and that was really good, and it worked for this book. But it's not working in quite the same way for the next book. So it's about finding a new method and just seeing what works. And I think it just depends on the type of story that's been written.
And just coming back to All Them Dogs, do you know many of the people that you've portrayed in it? Did you have personal experiences of dealing with drug users, drug pushers, whatever?
I mean, you know, the environments that I came up in, I wasn't sheltered from it. Was I directly involved? No. But I don't, you know, you take in your environment as you're growing up and you meet people from all walks of life. I found anyway that I've managed to meet people from.
And when you went to UCD, did you find that many of the people there had these experiences?
That's an interesting question. Maybe not so much. Yeah.
Okay. Well, look, we leave it there. I'm really enjoying it. All Them Dogs. Jamel White, thank you so much for taking the time to join us on The Last Word.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.